Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
I believe in me and my passion to live from within. I believe in magic, the kind that inspires change and creates hope. I believe that dreams do come true when you have the courage to move past your fears and step out as your authentic self. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be along shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where you're dialing from. And don't forget, we're all going to press star 6 today because we're watching out for background noise, okay? Let's get going!
Morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy in Kinney, Texas.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Wendy. Welcome to the call.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Terrence in Corinth, Texas.
Hi, Terrence and Corinth. Good morning.
Good morning, Palmer. Hi, good morning, Mahara. Palmery in Fort Myers, Florida.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored, my dear.
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored as well. We are so glad to have you with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's a girl from Long Island, New York.
I think I heard Adele in Long Island and Elizabeth in Virginia. Am I right?
Yes, you did, sweetie. Hi, Virginia. Thanks. Have a good day. Thanks, sweetie.
Aloha, Mira.
Elliot, what's going on?
I'm recovering.
Recovering from awesomeness?
I wish, but that's coming tomorrow.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Good morning, Anglo. How's the morning treating you?
Awesome so far. Just getting started with you guys.
We're glad you're here, baby.
Good morning.
Here in Sacramento, California.
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Billy in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Good morning in Sacramento, California. Good morning, Billy in Philly. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Chanel in California.
Hi, Chanel. Good morning.
It's always a pleasure being in your company.
Good morning, Mahara. That's from Pennsylvania.
Who is that, Pennsylvania?
That's Yvette from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Betsy, good morning. Welcome to the
good
call.
Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone.
Woohoo! Good morning. It's Kathy in Idaho.
Woohoo, Kathy. We're so glad to have you with us. Welcome. Good to be here.
Good morning, Mahara Emanuel from Dallas.
Good morning, Emmanuel. Welcome to the call.
Sacramento, Sheila says good morning.
Hello,
good morning.
Sheila, good morning.
Yes, God bless everybody.
Morning, Mahara. I'm from Jacksonville.
Andre, what's going on?
What's going on? Doing great this morning. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, too. I'm so glad to be
J-Riz in Chicago, baby.
Hey, J-Riz, what's happening?
What's going on, baby girl?
Everything's good in the ATL.
Yeah.
I'm not
really
funny because I got
to wait for
Phyllis
in Missouri.
Hi, Phyllis. Good morning.
Good morning. Lauren in Lakeland.
Good morning in Lakeland. We're so glad to have you with us.
Good morning, Maharish Charity from New York.
Hi, Charity. Good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great this morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Todd Young from Baltimore. I'm excited to be alive today. Thank you. Thank you. Great to hear your voice.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Marion in Miami.
Hey, Marion. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mindset Mahara. It's Tony, the Man of Steel.
Tony, the Man of Steel. We're glad you're here, baby.
Good morning. This is Jewel in Cincinnati. Good morning, family. This is Jewel in Cincinnati.
We're so glad you're with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning from Minnesota.
Hey, Michaeline. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Bill Winch, Rochester, New York.
Hey, Bill. Top of the morning to you.
Freedom Friday.
Freedom!
Good morning, Mahara.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Mario from New York.
Good morning, Mario. Who else was that stepping out?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Freedom Friday, May 28, 2015. This is Paul Hutching dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho, excited to be on the Think and Grow Rich call with each of you, powerful, positive, enthusiastic, pumped up, motivated, vision-filled, spirit-directed, character-conscious people who dial into this call from various locations throughout the world. I'm excited to be here, and I'm also very grateful. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to have the ability to be connected through technology to all of you wonderful people. I'm grateful for the thoughts and the ideas and the expressions and the inspirations that are going to come through on this call today as we come together to study the words of success and also share with each other our experiences so that we can mastermind into new levels of greatness, into new levels of influence, into new levels of impact, into new levels of happiness, joy, abundance, prosperity, all the good things in life that we all are seeking and finding along the way in various pieces. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful it's Friday. I'm grateful that we have the ability to do things today to move us forward. And I'm curious, my friends, my Think and Grow Rich family, are you guys grateful on this day? Are you grateful for the food you have to eat, the clothes you have to wear, the beds you had to sleep in last night that probably in the vast majority of cases were warm and comfortable? Are you grateful for the roof over your head? Are you grateful for your business, for the opportunity to make your life better? And if you are, on this Freedom Friday, May 28th, as I unmute the lines, let's just express a feeling of gratitude for all that already is, right? All that already is. Because, yeah, we come here, we're looking forward into the vision, we're looking forward into the future. But I think it was Jim Rohn who said that the key is, one of the keys anyway, is to be grateful for what you have while you're pursuing what you want. And so let's be grateful, my friends. Are you guys grateful to be here? Are you grateful? Let me unmute the lines and let's express that to you here. Hold on. There you go. I'm grateful. Are you guys grateful? You know, I had a thought this morning that I was sharing on my Facebook wall, and the thought was gratitude. I was masterminding with Mike Hobbs, one of our Think and Grow Rich family members, practitioners, a good friend, and team member and business partner of mine, and he has a mentor that earns multiple seven figures on a yearly basis, and one of the things his mentor, Ray told him, he said one of the big mistakes people make in their business is they get frustrated at the things that are happening, the good things that are happening all around them, when instead they should be grateful. And he expressed how, like, people will come to him all the time and they'll be like, They'll be like, dang, I got 10 leads today and no sale. Darn it. And Ray will be like, you should be, he's like, 10 leads? That's awesome. 5 leads? That's awesome. 1 new connection? That's awesome. You should be grateful for that. Rather than looking at that, you know, as a glass half empty type of a thing. And one of the things that Mike told me that that Ray taught him was that when something good happens in your business, you should say thank you. And a new commission comes in. A commission could be $5 or $10 or $15, maybe $1. We should look at that and be like, thank you. When a new lead comes in, thank you. And just get in the habit of expressing gratitude for all of the things that maybe typically we sometimes take for granted. And gosh, you know, it's funny, you know, we talk about gratitude a lot from time to time. The book Science of Getting Rich talks a lot about gratitude, and no matter how much we hear about it, isn't it true that we can all always do better at it? And isn't it also true that gratitude is really one of the things that can instantly put us into a great state of vibration, a great state of well-being, that simple act of gratitude. So, guys, thank you for being grateful. Thank you for being here. I'm excited about what we're going to learn today. We're studying the Law of Success 1928 version, and today we're jumping into law number 10, lesson 11 in the book, which is called accurate thought, which seems to be really, really, really important in moving forward in life and business, being able to cause the deceptive illusions that we sometimes build for ourselves, and other times we allow others to build for us, to allow those walls of deceptive illusion to kind of melt away, sort of like as the matrix of self-limiting beliefs, the matrix of self-imposed limitations just kind of falls down, and it seems like accurate thought is one of the keys that allows us to do that. So I'm excited about that, but first, let's go through our definite major purpose self-confidence formula. And I believe Mario has that ready for us this morning. So let me get the lines ready for you, Mario. 1 second.
Hey, good morning, Paul. This is Mario.
Hey, good morning. Great to hear you, man.
Great to hear you guys. Thank you for the invite and the offer to do the major definite purpose. So I'm ready.
Well, thank you for volunteering. I love that. Initiative leadership. We really appreciate that. So go ahead.
Okay. By the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this vision, I will give the most efficient service for which I'm capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of my abilities. I believe I will have this vision in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this vision before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intended to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this vision, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize that the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually produce themselves in outward physical action and gradual transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate on my thoughts for 30 minutes a daily upon the task of thinking for the person I intend to become, therefore creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself and the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for this for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use, and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing a love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day, twice for me, and full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and my actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Amen.
Amen, Mario. I appreciate you so much, and I believe in you. And as you were talking, I had the thought come to me that, you know, the things that we want to have happen in our lives, A, us as people, B, our dreams, right? They're seeds, and we talk about this a lot. They're seeds that we plant in the ground, and it seems like one of the magical qualities or growth factors is belief. And if we could think about maybe belief as the sunlight on the seed, and this, without the sunlight, the seed's not going to grow as big as it could be. It's not going to become what it's meant to be. And so I believe in you, Mario. I believe you have the ability to achieve what it is that you want to achieve. And friends, do you guys want to help me shine some sunlight on Mario real quick? If you would, let's express our belief into him in just one moment as I unmute the lines right now. We believe in you, Mario.
We believe in you.
We believe in you.
Awesome. Thank you guys for doing that. I believe in you. I believe in everyone on this call. I believe that we're created with power inside of us, and we just need some people around us that believe in us and can help us to move forward in new and better ways. So thank you guys for doing that. Let's get to work, shall we? We are in the Law of Success. If you're new to the call, you can grab this on our website at growrichaudios.com. Lesson 11, Accurate Thought. We're on page 788 of the ebook copy. Page 5 in the chapter on Accurate Thought. Dr. Hill writes, "You can do it if you believe you can. This is at one and the same time the most important and the most interesting and the most difficult to represent lesson of this entire course on the law of success. It is important because it deals with a principle which runs through the entire course. It is interesting for the same reason. It is difficult to present for the reason that it will carry the average student far beyond the boundary line of his common experiences and into a realm of thought in which he is not accustomed to dwell. Unless you study this lesson with an open mind, you will miss the very keystone to the art of this course. And without this stone, you can never complete the temple of success. This lesson will bring you a conception of thought which may carry you far above the level to which you have risen by the evolutionary processes to which you have been subjected in the past. And for this reason, you should not be disappointed if at first reading you do not fully understand it. Most of us disbelieve that which we cannot understand. And it is with knowledge of this human tendency in mind that I caution you against closing your mind if you do not grasp all that is in this lesson at the first reading. For thousands of years, men made ships of wood and nothing else. They used wood because they believed that it was the only substance that would float. But that was because they had not yet advanced far enough in their thinking process to understand the truth that steel will float and that it is far superior to wood for the building of ships. They did not know that anything could float which was lighter than the amount of water is displaced. And until they learned of this great truth, they went on making ships of wood. Until some 25 years ago, most men thought that only the birds could fly. But now we know that man can not only equal the flying of the birds, but he can excel it. Men did not know until quite recently that the great open void known as the air is more alive and more sensitive than anything that is on Earth. They did not know that the spoken word would travel through the ether with the speed of a flash of lightning without the aid of wires. How could they know this when their minds had not been unfolded sufficiently to enable them to grasp it? The purpose of this lesson is to aid you in so unfolding and expanding your mind that you will be able to think with accuracy. For this unfoldment will open to you a door that leads to all the power you will need in completing your temple of success. All through the preceding lessons of this course, you observed that we have dealt with principles which anyone could easily grasp and apply. You will also observe that these principles have been so presented that they lead to success as measured by material wealth. This seemed necessary for the reason that to most people, the word success and the word money are synonymous terms. Obviously, the previous lessons of this course were intended for those who look upon worldly things and material wealth as being all there is to success. Presenting the matter in another way, I was conscious of the fact that the majority of the students of this course would feel disappointed if I pointed out to them a roadway to success that leads through other than the doorways of business and finance and industry. For it is a matter of common knowledge that most men want success that is spelled $SUCCE$S! Very well, let those who are satisfied with this standard of success have it. But some there are who will want to go higher up the ladder in search of success, which is measured in other than material standards. And it is for their benefit in particular that this and the subsequent lessons of this course are intended. Accurate thought involves two fundamentals, which all who indulge in it must observe. First, to think accurately, you must separate facts from mere information. There is much information available to you that is not based upon facts. Second, you must separate facts into two classes, namely, the important and the unimportant, or the relevant and the irrelevant. Only by doing so can you think clearly. All facts which you can use in the attainment of your definite chief aim are important and relevant. All that you cannot use are unimportant and irrelevant. It is mainly the neglect of some to make this distinction which accounts for the chasm which separates so widely people who appear to have equal ability and who have had equal opportunity. Without going outside of your own circle of acquaintances, you can point to one or more persons who have had no greater opportunity than you have had and who appear to have no more and perhaps less ability than you, who are achieving far greater success. And you wonder why. Search diligently and you will discover that all such people have acquired the habit of combining and using the important facts which affect their line of work. Far from working harder than you, they are perhaps working less and with greater ease by virtue of their having learned the secret of separating the important facts from the unimportant. They have provided themselves with a sort of fulcrum and lever with which they can move with their little fingers, loads that you cannot budge with the entire weight of your body. The person who forms the habit of directing his attention to the important fact out of which he is constructing his temple of success thereby provides himself with a power which may be likened to a trip hammer, which strikes a 10-ton blow as compared to a tack hammer, which strikes a 1-pound blow. If these similes appear to be elementary, you must keep in mind the fact that some of the students of this course have not yet developed the capacity to think in more complicated terms. and to try to force them to do so would be the equivalent of leaving them hopelessly behind. That you may understand the importance of distinguishing between facts and mere information, study that type of man who is guided entirely by that which he hears, the type who is influenced by all the whisperings of the winds of gossip, that accepts without analysis all that he reads in the newspapers, and judges others by what their enemies and competitors and contemporaries say about them. Search your circle of acquaintances and pick out one of this type as an example to keep before your mind while we are on this subject. Observe that this man usually begins his conversation with some such term as this, quote, "I see by the papers," or "they say," close quote. The accurate thinker knows that the newspapers are not always accurate in their reports. And he also knows that what they say usually carries more falsehood than truth. If you have not risen above the "I see by the papers" and the "they say" class, you have still far to go before you can become an accurate thinker. Of course, much truth and many facts travel in the guise of idle gossip and newspaper reports, but the accurate thinker will not accept as such all that he sees and hears. This is a point which I feel impelled to emphasize, for the reason that it constitutes the rocks and reefs on which so many people flounder and go down to defeat in a bottomless ocean of false conclusions. In the realm of legal procedure, there is a principle which is called the law of evidence, and the object of this law is to get at the facts. Any judge can proceed with justice to all who concerned if he has the facts upon which to base his judgment. But he may play havoc with innocent people if he circumvents the law of evidence and reaches a conclusion or judgment that is based upon hearsay information. There's a quote here on the preceding page. Let me read this. The great Edison failed 10,000 times before he made the incandescent electric light work. Do not become discouraged and quit if you fail once or twice before making your plans work. The law of evidence varies according to the subject and circumstances with which it is used. But you will not go far wrong if, in the absence of that which you know to be fact, you form your judgments on the hypothesis that only that part of the evidence before you which furthers your own interests without working any hardship on the others is based upon fact. This is a crucial and important point in this lesson. Therefore, I wish to be sure that you do not pass it by lightly. Many a man mistakes, knowingly or otherwise, expediency for fact, doing a thing or refraining from doing it for the sole reason that his action furthers his own interests without consideration as to whether it interferes with the rights of others. No matter how regrettable, it is true that most thinking of today, far from being accurate, is based upon the sole foundation of expediency. It is amazing to the more advanced student of accurate thought how many people there are who are honest when it is profitable to them, but find myriads of facts to justify facts with a question mark to justify themselves in following a dishonest course when that course seems to be more profitable or advantageous. No doubt you know people who are like that. The accurate thinker adopts a standard by which he guides himself, and he follows that standard at all times, whether it works always to his immediate advantage or carries him now and then through the fields of disadvantage, as it undoubtedly will. The accurate thinker deals with facts, regardless of how they affect his own interests, for he knows that ultimately this policy will bring him out on top, in full possession of the object of his definite chief aim in life. He understands the soundness of the philosophy that the old philosopher Croesus had in mind when he said, quote, "There is a wheel on which the affairs of men revolve, and its mechanism is such that it prevents any man from being always fortunate," close quote. The accurate thinker has but one standard by which he conducts himself in his intercourse with his fellow men, and that standard is observed by him as faithfully when it brings him temporary disadvantage as it is when it brings him outstanding advantage. For being an accurate thinker, he knows that by the law of averages, he will more than regain at some future time that which he loses by applying his standard to his own temporary detriment. You might as well begin to prepare yourself to understand that it requires the staunchest and most unshakable character to become an accurate thinker. For you can see that this is where the reasoning of this lesson is leading. There is a certain amount of temporary penalty attached to accurate thinking. There is no denying this fact. But while this is true, it is also true that the compensating reward in the aggregate is so overwhelmingly greater that you will gladly pay this penalty. In searching for facts, it is often necessary to gather them through the sole source of knowledge and experience of others. It then becomes necessary to examine carefully both the evidence submitted and the person from whom the evidence comes. And when the evidence is of such a nature that it affects the interest of the witness who is giving it, there will be reason to scrutinize it all the more carefully. As witnesses who have an interest in the evidence that they are submitting often yield to the temptation to color and pervert it to protect their own interest. If one man slanders another, his remark should be accepted. If of any weight at all, with at least a grain of proverbial salt of caution, for it is a common human tendency for men to find nothing but evil in those whom they do not like. The man who has attained to the degree of accurate thinking that enables him to speak of his enemy without exaggerating his faults and minimizing his virtues is the exception and not the rule. Some very able men have not yet risen above this vulgar and self-destructive habit of belittling their enemies, competitors, and contemporaries. I wish to bring this common tendency to your attention with all possible emphasis because it is a tendency that is fatal to accurate thinking. Before you can become an accurate thinker, you must understand and make allowance for the fact that the moment a man or a woman begins to assume leadership in any walk of life, the slanderers begin to circulate rumors and subtle whisperings reflecting upon his or her character. No matter how fine one's character is, or what service he may be engaged in rendering to the world, he cannot escape the notice of those misguided people who delight in destroying instead of building. Lincoln's political enemies circulated the report that he lived with a colored woman. Washington's political enemies circulated a similar report concerning him. Since both Lincoln and Washington were Southern men, this report was undoubtedly regarded by those who circulated it as being at one and the same time the most fitting and degrading one they could imagine. But we do not have to go back to our first president to find evidence of this slanderous nature with which men are gifted, for they went a step further in paying their tributes to the late President Harding and circulated the report that he had Negro blood in his veins. When Woodrow Wilson came back from Paris with what he believed to be a sound plan for abolishing war and settling international disputes, all except the accurate thinker might have been led to believe by the reports of the They Say chorus that he was a combination of Nero and Judas Iscariot. The little politicians and the cheap politicians and the interest-paid politicians and the plain ignorant who did no thinking of their own all joined in one mighty chorus for the purpose of destroying the one and only man in the history of the world who offered a plan for abolishing war. And guys, I think that's a great place for us to stop, and I apologize, there's a train driving by here. Accurate thought. What do we believe regarding the things we hear, the things people say? Do we stop to question? Do we stop to wonder? How on earth would this person know this particular thing that they're purporting? When we hear a negative report of someone, are we quick to jump to the conclusion that, yep, that person's bad, yep, they're doing the wrong thing? Or do we stop to consider that it's nearly impossible to know what's going on inside the mind of another person? It's nearly impossible. You know, it's like, what's that saying, never judge a man or a woman before you've walked a mile in their shoes? You know, I believe it's one of the reasons the Bible teaches us to judge not, lest ye be judged. You know, don't judge. Preserve judgment. Reserve judgment, I should say. Hold things off, right? I would rather say, personally, me, I would rather say, I don't know. If there are things going on that people are purporting to be true about another person, I would rather say, I don't know. There's no way that I could possibly know that. And so, in any case, accurate thought, I believe, is something that we wanna strive to have in our lives. And let's go ahead and open up the mastermind portion of the call, because I know you guys have a lot more wisdom collectively than I do. So let's jump into that. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are a part of our call. And brevity and relevance, always appreciated in your comments. So one moment, please. Open up the line. Star
hey,
six,
Paul,
who's first? Hey, who's
Blake.
That? Hey,
Blake,
good morning.
Good morning, my brother. Good morning. You know, man, I love that passage on accurate thinking, because quite frankly, it is growing exceedingly rare in today's microwave type of society. There's a pretty well known businessman out there. His name is Damon Dash, and I've been reviewing a interview that he had done once with a morning radio station, and he had actually spoke on the whole process of men commenting and talking about the happenings and the doings of other men, and just how really ridiculous it is, and what he referred to as chatty patties. For myself, on a personal basis, if I've ever wanted to know something about someone that wasn't my business, well, first of all, I don't. Secondly, I would ask that person, because quite frankly, 9 times out of 10, what's out in the public, you guys literally have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. And it's usually the it's,
hey, Blaze, let me clear the line
yeah.
for you, man. I'm sorry about that. Hold on a second. Just Blaze, Star 6, come back, buddy.
All right, brother. All right, better. So don't be a chatty patty. Keep your business to yourself, and if it's something that actually affects you on a personal basis, be a man about it and ask that person. I followed that pattern. It's held me in very, very good stead. And on a frank personal basis, I respect people that follow that pattern as well. I can't stand chatty patties, man. Back to you, brother.
Great thoughts, John. Appreciate you, man, and appreciate your example. And by the way, I don't know that any one of us ever starts out, you know, an accurate thinker or a non-gossiper. I know, speaking just from my own personal experience, I'm not perfect, and man, I used to gossip a lot. And I used to, because we don't know until we're taught, right? So if anyone is feeling a little bit guilty for this, it's okay, right? If we're human, we can change. So great thoughts, John. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul, this is Frank from Delaware.
Paul.
All right, we got Frank and then Pass. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, Paul. Hi, ever thinking global family. I love you all, and I love you too, Paul. Thank you very much for having me on. This is a really important lesson today, because we actually see what happens in the world. We see the examples of what happens in the world when people engage in inaccurate thinking. We see that we've seen some things that have made a lot of people believe that race relations are terrible in this country, and it's just not true. It's the only thing that leads to those problems and issues are the fact that people are engaged in inaccurate thinking, and they hear things and they react
instead of waiting to hear what the truth is. They react right away, and then they find out later on that there was no truth surrounding that supposed fact that they heard. So this is a very important lesson for us, because accurate thinking, actually, we could see the evidence that it leads to peace, and it leads to thinking about other people. But when you're an inaccurate thinker and you hear a rumor and then you react based on that rumor, that just leads to pain and anguish and hate. And that's the opposite vibration that we are trying to attract and promote in our lives. We're trying to do a higher vibration of love and respect, and those absolute high vibrations that we want to live our lives around, and not engage in these lower vibrations of anger, hate, and things like that. That's my comment for today. Back to you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Great thoughts, Frank. Appreciate that. Pat Simpson, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Paul, how are you on this Friday?
I'm awesome, man. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, sir. As we're talking about accurate thinking, you know, I think one of the best ways that Dr. Hill just explained it was knowing the difference between information and fact. And then once you start breaking that down even further, is knowing what's useful information. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in a lot of useless information, and useless information is what usually keeps us unhappy. So when you find things that you can actually apply to your life, who you are and where you're going, you can find yourself in the happiest places even when you're at the bottom. So you can then become more valuable to the people around you because you're not engaging in things that don't help, because we're simply here to help or be helped so we can be more helpful. And you can spend a lot more time just enjoying life. So I just wanted to throw that out on this Friday. I hope everyone has a great, great Friday, great weekend, and a beautiful day.
I love it, Pat. So useful facts are what we're after, not useless information. And as we're masterminding here, I was reminded of something that Dan Kennedy said. You know, when we think about the topic of accurate thinking and wealth building together, which a lot of us are, you know, on the path of building wealth, one of the things that Dan Kennedy pointed out is if the stats are true that 3% have most of the money and 97% are, you know, in terms of, you know, what people would consider, you know, not wealthy, what he said was then we must conclude that 97% of the information we hear is information that is going to lead us in a path of poverty or, like, not useful, useless facts. So just think about that, like, how much information there is out there that is not going to empower us to get where it is that we want to go. That's a fascinating thought, I think. Hold on one second. Okay. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Paul. This is Terrence.
Hey, Terrence. Good morning.
Good morning. And good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Well, I like this call this morning, Paul. You know, I used to be an avid studier of Stephen Covey, and this morning's reading brought me back to Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, where he gave an example of paradigm shifts. And the example was there was a man sitting in the subway with his children, and his children were running around the subway, you know, stepping on people's toes, knocking into people, and making a ruckus and a noise. And the man was just kind of sitting there, allowing his children to do that. And Covey was getting irritated, and you know, looking through his filters, he felt that that the man was probably one of those parents that was just very very lenient and allowed their children to just run around and do everything that they wanted to do. So he took it upon himself after a while to say to the parent, you know, why are you letting your children run around like this? And the man kind of came out of a stupor, and he said, oh, I am so very sorry. We're just coming from the hospital. Their mother has just died. And it changed his whole paradigm shift. And he, all of a sudden, he went from being annoyed to very empathetic and felt sorry for the man and understood how the children were why he wasn't reacting to the children that were running around and doing what they were doing. And I said that to say this. We all, many times, we look at situations through our various filters, and we draw conclusions that many times are not true. And we do this on a macro basis, and we also do it on a micro basis when in our interactions with other people. And it just goes to show that we must be careful about just assuming things about various situations, and that we must really pay attention to ourselves and our own filters about how we process information, and just be careful that we don't draw just conclusions about groups of people, individuals, simply because of what we see. Because many times there are other underlying factors that cause behavior to be the way it is. So,
I'm going to show you. I want you to watch me get on.
I just wanted to share that with the family, and I want everybody to have a nice day.
Terrence, you're awesome. Such a powerful story. Here, let me clear the screen. Next, we'll keep it rolling. Great discussion so far.
Mr. Paul Titan Hutchins.
Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for rich family. This is a great call. I'm so happy that I was able to make it on this call and this chapter. It's probably probably an exhausting chapter, because it's a chapter that really is a process. And by that I mean, you know, everyone on this call is in search of being probably some type of entrepreneur of some kind. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, what's popular today, and as a visionary, what we see popular today is rarely popular tomorrow. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I used to have these crazy conversations at the dinner table with my father and parents. You know, my father is a voracious reader, and, you know, I can remember him telling me, this was years and years back, but I can remember him telling me, Chris, do you know that shortly after Martin Luther King's death, they did a poll? Now, both of these numbers are high. Just let me finish. Both of these numbers are high. But the question was this: shortly after his death, and it really ties into entrepreneurship, being a visionary, what everybody is doing or attempting to do on a call. The poll was this: how many blacks approve of Martin Luther King and the principles that he stood for shortly after his death? 55% of black America disapproved of him. They did another poll. They did white America shortly after his death. Now it ties in. Now listen to this. How many whites shortly after Martin Luther King's death disapproved of him? 72% of whites. Now I say that to say this. Now both numbers are high. Okay. Now the question that my father posed to me was this: how many people that disapproved of Martin Luther King did so because of their environment or because of what they really of what their real beliefs were? Now that's a very powerful question, and I say that to say this: if you do that same poll today, you'll have very low percentages of people in the United States, if any of those percentages are even make it on the scales, that will say they disapproved of them. And that's one of the stories that I kept on thinking about when reading, this chapter and listening to it, is because I think this is an exhausting chapter, because it's a process. Because I really believe that in our ability to grasp accurate thought, it really is a process to where we have to, in everything that we do, we really have to become critical thinkers. And in order to do that, sometimes we have to question our environment and look at what is happening around us and if those things are really influencing our actual thoughts. And I think that that's really a major factor which determines greatness for a business owner or entrepreneur, because when you look at a visionary, I mean, rarely will you see something popular today that will be popular tomorrow. And I think that it really puts a lot of fear in a lot of people, because most people, most of us, everything that we do on a daily basis is based upon what we see everybody else do. And it has really, it bears very little truth on what really we believe is possible for us. So it's like everybody going to a job every day, and there's nothing wrong with the job because everybody has to make a living for their family. But that accurate thought is extremely exhausting because you really sometimes have to just kind of like sit in a room by yourself sometimes and just think. And you know, and I really think this is just an exhausting chapter because it really is a process. So I just wanted to put that out. Back to you, Paul.
I love it, Chris. And I had one thought as you were telling that story. How many people, when asked the question, do you agree with such and such as principles, how many people would say, well, which principles are you talking about? Which philosophies are you talking about? Are you talking about his philosophy on freedom and equality? Are you talking about his philosophy on government? Are you talking about his philosophy on family? You know, we would just go ahead and say, we agree or we disagree. An accurate thought kind of like tends to try to make finer distinctions. That's such a great example. Thank you for that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Bill Moist.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. This is an important chapter on accurate thinking. You started out the call, you mentioned speaking positive and expressing gratitude. And I experienced that last night in kind of a big way. So I was waiting for my stylist to get ready to cut my hair, and the lady in front of me said that she was going to the Neil Diamond concert in Dallas last night, but she didn't want to go. And so I kind of shouted out, I'll go, I'll take your tickets, and it kind of surprised me, kind of surprised her. And she kind of ignored me. And then within 10 minutes, a good friend of mine sent me a text, Bill, I got an extra ticket to the Neil Diamond concert. Do you want to go? And I said, you bet I do. And what was interesting is he had those tickets for 4 hours before he texted me, but he didn't text me until I spoke it out. So I went to the concert, and there's a couple things that were really quite interesting. Number one, the man is 74 years old. He's still making $200 million a year putting on concerts. And so, and then they had, before the concert, they had tweets up on the wall that they were showing. Somebody said, this is my 24th concert. Somebody else said, this is Mama's 22nd concert. So this is my first concert. And so I thought, what is this man doing that attracts this many people all these years? Because, you know, typically when you're a 74-year-old singer, why, you know, you kind of lose your voice, you know. But his voice was great. So I was just watching him to kind of see, what does this man do that really draws the crowds? Number one, he constantly expressed gratitude to his audience. He told them constantly how much he loved them. And then at different times, they had seating all the way up back to the back side of the stage. And he would turn to those people on the side and say, hey, I know you've been watching my profile the whole show. He'd say, but hey, I just want to speak to you, and I tell you how much I appreciate you. But the other thing I found really interesting was he said he started singing and playing the guitar when he was 6 years old. He was in his 30s before he had his first big concert in Los Angeles. So now he's been performing for 40 years and still making $200 million. And you know, what a great example of someone who puts out so much positive energy. I mean, when he walked away from that concert, you couldn't help but to feel better, to feel encouraged, to feel uplifted, because it was such a positive message in all the songs. So back to you, Paul, and you all have a wonderful weekend.
Wow. Such a great story, Bill. Thank you for that.
You bet.
That's incredible. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul. Lisa Scott.
Hey, good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. I experienced an example of accurate thinking as we were going through the major definite purpose and self-confidence formula. As we were reading, you know, I pay attention to whether or not I'm just reading these words because it becomes habitual that we're doing the major and definite purpose every single day. Or as we're going through the lines, you know, do I really believe this? When we're talking about this, do I really believe this? Are my actions behind what it is that I'm doing on a daily basis, supporting the fact that when I state these words out of my mouth, that I actually am moving forward in the direction of my major definite purpose and the words in the self-confidence formula. So I just wanted to put that out there, that there is a difference between us habitually, you know, speaking something and whether or not we're actually paying attention to, number one, do I believe what I'm saying? And number two, do my actions support the fact that I actually do believe what it is that I'm saying in the major definite purpose of self-confidence formula? Back to you, Paul.
You are such a powerful woman, Lisa Scott. Such great insight. Thank you so much for that.
Connie, Sacramento, Sheila, I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm trying to get through.
Go ahead. I hear you. Yeah, good morning.
You hear me? Did you hear me before? Because I called out a couple times. I just thought, I'm going to have to start yelling.
No, I did not. I apologize.
Okay. Did you get my text?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, technology, I've broken past all of your failures. Technology because sometimes doesn't help one bit. Oh, my goodness. God is so good. I was ready to bring forth a definite major purpose a couple times this week, and people were right there, and I'm so proud of everybody. I wish to be of service to my fellow men as I journey through life, and I wish to carry with me wherever I go a disposition of sunshine and good fellowship. You know, I really like that prayer of Dr. Napoleon Hill's also. So I would like to just officially ask that we could read these things as his prayers also when one of us gets to read. You know, read something that was his prayer, the other one. Oh, Divine Providence, you know, some people have been reading that. But anyway, everybody, I'm still alive and well. I'm supposed to have a kidney stone surgery. So I want everyone to send me forth alternative ideas of how do you get rid of a kidney stone that they want you to just lie flat on your back until they can do this surgery. So they're going to just hit it with money.
Glad you're doing well and appreciate those.
Okay, I wanted to finish.
Okay.
I just wanted to finish.
Go ahead. If we could just keep
going. I'm just going to be really quick. Can you hear me? Sometimes when I have my speakerphone on, I'm too close to the phone. It sounds terrible. Okay, this note 4 should work today. Can you hear me good right now? Really better?
Yep. You got about 30 seconds.
Great. This is a major invitation, and we're establishing a Napoleon Hill Center here in Sacramento. We have the location, and Paul's going to have all the details. If anybody that's interested to know, I might be able to post some on the Facebook group. But we're establishing Sacramento as the headquarters, and we've approached the foundation and everything. And so we need people that are his certified trainers. I mean, they have the certification from his foundation as educators. And so anyway, that's one of the big announcements. But there's a little poem, and
okay,
it's
awesome,
an anonymous
awesome.
Author.
Yeah, well, if you could send me the information, we could talk about it outside of the call.
Okay, can I give this 1 minute poem?
1 second.
And they tell me all kind of
*6. Who's next? Come on. Thoughts on accurate thinking. Would love to hear what's on your mind. We have about 7 minutes left.
Yes. Hi, Paul. This is Yvette from Pennsylvania. And today was absolutely fantastic. And I thought it really tied in very well to what you mentioned yesterday about the gentleman who you and Mike Hobbs went to view, and he said, you know, to be, controversial in your delivery of certain topics, and then you will get noticed. And so for quite a while, you know, going on to Facebook, I just would just go on just to say happy birthday to people and quickly get off because of the posts that were, I felt, were very controversial and just negative in nature. But then when you, you know, you said what you said yesterday, and then, you know, this reading for today, it all seemed to really tie in for me personally, that there's so much chatter out there, and you just have to, you know, just take what's factual and just block out the noise that's out there. And I really enjoyed what, you know, Frank from Delaware and Pass and, you know, everyone had to, you know, say on today's call. It was just really very important for me to hear that. But thank you so much. I greatly appreciate the call. Last Friday, 1 year anniversary that I'm on the call, and I want to thank my brother Vincent for introducing me to this call, and I thank God every single day for the family. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thank you, Yvette, and happy Thinkingerich birthday to you.
Jesse in New York?
Hey, Jesse, good morning.
Good morning. You know, this is a wonderful law that really affected me the first time I heard it last year when we read it. And it really brought me to light about how quickly one can judge others. And when I learned how to better not judge, because at the time I wasn't aware of, you know, accurate thinking, but basically the same factor lies in this, is that we don't know all the facts of whatever we're judging many times. So, you know, someone doesn't do this, or why is that person not losing weight, or why is that person, just like the example of the individual not watching his children, it's because we don't know both sides of the story. And so often I think, well, let me put that on myself. Why didn't I pick up the phone and make those phone calls? Or why didn't I react in such a way towards that individual? And maybe at the time it was something that I was going through. So if I could turn that around and say, well, you know, it's very possible there's something going on in their life, maybe why they didn't call me back, or why they didn't do this or they didn't do that. And so I've learned not to judge, because I turn it around and look at myself and say, you know, is it about me? No, maybe it isn't all about me, and realize that there's more than myself involved here, and that it isn't always about me, that the judging is something that is not necessary, that it's harmful for myself and others because I don't have all the facts. And it is something that I work on all the time to be in compliance with, because I think it's so important. And I think it's also very helpful when we're in marketing as well, when someone, you know, responds in an objective way about something, and maybe the best question is, you know, well, can you explain that in more detail? Where have you gotten that information from? And that could stop things right then and there. But it's just my thoughts. I think it's a powerful law and one we all really need to follow. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesse. Great thoughts. And, you know, marketing, sometimes there's a tendency to just pull out all the stops and color the facts and do everything we can to influence someone to make a decision. And that is sort of violating sometimes the law of accurate thinking. And sometimes it's better to be a consultant rather than a salesperson. Sometimes it's better to say, hey, I'm okay you not joining if what I have is not for you, and I would rather you just have the facts. You know, obviously be enthusiastic and be excited,
yep,
but present the facts so that people can make the best decision for them. Sometimes I think that's helpful to think about. So Star 6 is next. We do have 2 minutes left. All right. Well, hey, since no one's jumping out, I've got a final thought here. Last 2 minutes of the call that I'd love to share that I think is very relevant to the topic. You know, one time I was at an event, and one of the leaders speaking from stage said, hey, you should go check out this book. And so the book was called The Greatest Manifestation Principle in the World. And so I went and bought the book, and I started to read it. And the book was very interesting because the book, like the whole purpose of the book was to basically expose the personal development industry and basically say, hey, these guys have missed the number one thing. They've talked about everything but the thing that really matters. And so I'm like, well, gosh, what is this secret that, you know, this book is talking about that everyone missed? And come to find out, the topic was love. It said they've all missed it. And I was reading that, and I was like, wow, that's fascinating, because Napoleon Hill has a whole chapter on love and many pages on love, and lots of books talk about it. So anyway, my accurate thought was like, oh, that may not be true that they missed it. But there was one thing in that book that I've remembered that I think is very relevant to accurate thinking. And in that book, The Greatest Manifestation Principle in the World, it talks about a principle called confirmation bias. And confirmation bias, in case we, you know, someone here that maybe doesn't know what it is, it's very important to be aware of. Basically what it is it's a tendency that we have to confirm that which we already believe. It's a tendency in psychology, it's a tendency in human nature to, rather than look for the facts, you know, just the facts, rather than do that, we tend to look for things that support our current beliefs. And so just being aware of that can really help us a lot to maybe, instead of looking for things that support, maybe we should just kind of look for, like, try to discover the way things really are, and be a little bit open-minded to the fact that some of the beliefs we have may not be true. So that's something to think about, confirmation bias in the realm of accurate thinking. Guys, none of us are perfect at this stuff. We're all working on being better thinkers, and for that, I applaud you. I appreciate you. Like Neil Diamond, we love you. We're grateful for you. Thanks for being here, adding to our lives every single day. Let's get out there, make it an awesome Friday. Have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you guys all back here on the Think and Grow Rich call next Monday morning. Take care, my friends, and bye for now.
Hey there, my friend, this is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web, at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.